Let's welcome Amanda. Did a fantastic job with Rob Chapman yesterday at the press conference and handled all the questions and spoke with such, well, I suppose they embrace Phil Walsh, the life of Phil Walsh. And Andrew Fagan made a really good point. He said, Phil Walsh won't be remembered for today, for next week. He's going to be remembered at this footy club forever. As I welcome Andrew to the program. Andrew, thanks for your time and, oh, wow, what a day yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, tough day yesterday, but certainly appreciated the support that everyone's been able to provide.
Can you just give us a brief overview of how the tragedy unfolded for you?
Yeah, mate, look, it started with a phone call about 3:30 a.m. yesterday and from Rob Chapman, who had just taken a phone call from the police alerting him to what had occurred. Obviously, that's a difficult phone call to take. There's a sense of disbelief and in the middle of the night trying to work out how that could possibly be true. But we didn't have too long to not think about anything. I sprung out of bed and said, we'll meet in the club in 20 minutes. And from there, Cornsey, it was a case of structuring up a program of notification of coaching staff, the senior leadership group, and then bringing the rest of the club together to work through providing them with the support that they were going to need. And that was a focus for yesterday, both for across the playing group, the staff of the club, and for Meredith and her family. And they continued right through until last night when we got together for a meal, and again this morning at the club where I've just been, where the guys have assembled for a chat, another meeting, talk through some things again, and now they're out having a bit of a kick around, having some games and getting back into the routine that athletes have relied on for most of their sporting career.
Did they all know before they got to the footy club?
We tried to. So they were the very difficult conversations, Conti. So every person, we didn't want to just try and bring them in and not tell them what it was, because we were concerned about the information breaking. We were working with the police to identify when it was going to be made public. So we made the decision that we would just inform everyone as we got them on the phone. So they were a series of very difficult conversations, and it was me. I still recall a conversation with Taylor Walker, coaching staff, my executive team. Gil McLaughlin at the AFL, they're tough things to contemplate first thing in the morning or in the early hours of the morning, and like they would be at any time, but there's just this sense of shock and disbelief. But we just had everyone there quickly, and we did that. And look, I've got to say, I emerged yesterday. I was driving home last night, and I thought how proud I was of the group. And I've said it a few times in the last 24 hours, but if a tragedy is going to take place, the best place to be is inside a footy club. And the way in which the guys leant on each other, looked after each other, relied on each other to be there for each other, it was truly remarkable. And it's continued again this morning. It's a special place, and that sense of team that gets you through tough times, just as it did 18 months ago. At this club with the passing of Dean Bailey, and they're a resilient bunch, and it's hard in there at the moment. It's tough and it's emotional, but they'll get through it again.
Andrew, as you know, it is a footy club, and you've got 40 players, and you've got 100, virtually 100 staff, and everyone's going to grieve in a different way. What's going to be the best way for everyone to deal and move on with what is just an enormous tragedy?
Yeah, look, you're right. We've got effectively 150 people who are going to all handle this differently. I think the thing that we want to do is as quickly as possible, certainly from a physical and functional sense, is just get back into the routine that we're all accustomed to. The week-to-week, the daily sessions, the physical activity, that routine, I think, helps. It's helped previously. I know when I've gone through this before, at my previous club, it's what helped then, and it's certainly the advice of the grief counsellors and others that we've spoken to. So, we're beginning to do that today, and that will continue over the days ahead. Emotionally, we know it'll take much longer, but physically I think it's just a case of getting out and getting back into the routine that the guys are so familiar with and getting back playing footy again.
Andrew, you don't have a home game for such a long time. What's going to be the best way to do a tribute among your community, among your fans, so that while you've got the draw not working to your favour in that for a home game very shortly, how can you set up a tribute to Phil Walsh immediately?
Yeah, look, I've got to say, I'm not in a rush to do that. We will do that appropriately and respectfully. It's something that I want to talk to Meredith about as well, Phil's family. I think that the tributes that are taking place already are remarkable. The social media, put out your scarf campaign that's been running, the outpouring support at the club. I mean, again, this morning there's people that were visibly upset at our footy club in delivering flowers and coming to visit the memorial that's there. They're not just Adelaide Football Club supporters, Port Adelaide supporters. I received a message late last night from James Sutherland, the CEO of Cricket Australia, who's overseas, who text messaged me just to offer his support, having gone through this most recently with the passing of Philip Hughes. And even last night, that was one of the more touching moments that I've seen in over 20 years in sport, with two class organisations and individuals in the captains and the coaches of those two clubs, Hawthorne and Collingwood, doing what they did post-match to pay tribute. Let's allow people to do those things in their own way, and then as a club, we will certainly do something as well to remember Phil and to enable our supporters to do something collectively in association with the club. But we'll do that in the coming weeks once we speak to Phil's family and we deal with the emotion that's present at the moment.
The AFL called the game off. Did many of the guys want to play?
Quandy, no, to be fair, I don't think so. They would have if they had to, but it was an AFL determination. Their role to do that. But I certainly spoke to Gil a number of times yesterday as we were working through this with the leadership group. I didn't want to put it on the players immediately, even though we were under some time pressure to make a decision, given the logistics that sit around the game. I needed to have them have time just to grieve and to process what had happened yesterday morning. But when I sat down with the leadership group late morning and put to them the scenarios that we had to work within, it was pretty clear that they weren't ready to play. And I certainly thought it would be unfair and inappropriate to put them into that position. And also, to be fair, having spoken to the Geelong Football Club, they weren't in a position to play either. They didn't think it'd be appropriate. So it wasn't a difficult decision to arrive at, to be fair. And it was about a game. It was only 2 days after the incident. That was just not enough time.
You must have been proud of the entire footy community last night. It was probably one of the most emotionally charged things I've seen, when the Collingwood Hawthorn boys got together. One Collingwood jumper, one Hawthorn jumper. You got Buckley and Clarkson. It was unbelievable, and it sort of didn't make sense of the day, but it certainly helped to perhaps have a bit of release of that emotion and think, gee, footy is a big thing, and we've lost Phil Walsh, and everybody to a man was there to pay respect to Phil and his family and footy in general.
Yeah, look, I'm sure I wasn't the only one with a tear in my eye around the country. As I said earlier, it was truly remarkable. And off the back of all that had occurred during the day and the individual tributes that had taken place, I thought, it was a really probably fitting way to end the day with that sort of united demonstration of support for Phil and his family and those that were grieving. So, look, except two class organisations that you probably expect nothing less from, and they delivered on that occasion, and I'm certainly very appreciative on behalf of the Adelaide Football Club and all of our supporters.
What's the process now for appointing the head coach?
I've already had some initial conversations. We're just working through a little bit of that at the moment. Graham, I think we'll need to make a decision in the next 36 hours or so. I want the guys returning to their routine. You know, part of that requires a senior coach to be in the chair. We'll make that decision pretty quickly so that we can try and start the early part of next week with those structures bedded down.
Will it be somebody? Will it be one of the assistant coaches here in Adelaide?
Look, that would be my expectation, Gondi. Obviously, when we make the decision, we'll make the decision. But I think that we've got the coaching group that are enormously capable. They're aware of the journey we're on and what we're trying to do here and what Phil had created. So I think that makes eminent sense.
Andrew, we spoke about the public before, and they feel like they've been hit by a sledgehammer as well. And we had quite a few interesting calls and emails coming through and texts yesterday saying, is there any possibility that the club on Sunday at 2:50 could open the ground so people can just walk around the Adelaide Oval and get a feel for what's going on and walk across the bridge, just stroll through the... I know there's no game on, but is there any way at such short notice that could occur?
I'm sure the Adelaide Oval are considering that, so the Stadiums Authority. I'll be chatting to Andrew Daniels later today and we'll see whether they wish to do that. I know a lot of people visited the stadium yesterday to pay their respects, just as they did to our headquarters at West Lakes. I think everyone's doing it in their own way, and I'm sure the stadium will ensure there's an appropriate way for people to pay their respects and support the club as much as they can.
Andrew, our sincere commiserations and condolences. You've had to handle a really difficult situation. You've done it impeccably well, both you and Rob. So, our thoughts are with you. You know that we'll all do whatever we can to help if we can help. And we just hope that the club, players, you and the staff can move forward. You mentioned Meredith and her daughter. I mean, we haven't even really stopped to think of the enormous impact and grief that she must be suffering as well. So thank you very much for joining us in a difficult time.
Thanks, mate. Look, I appreciate that. And I've got to say, I think the media have been really, really great over the last day. They've had a job to do, but everyone's been very respectful of the space that we've required and the privacy of some of the individuals concerned. So look, I've got to thank you guys and all of the Adelaide media, they've been great, and I think it's appropriate, but it's always nice when you see it happen. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew Fagan, Chief Executive of the Adelaide Footy Club.